Great plays, landmarks in theatrical history. Broadcast with stars from radio, stage, and screen. The 11 great plays which were presented last year has encouraged the National Broadcasting Company to open a new season in which 28 masterpieces of the theater will be presented via radio in special prepared adaptations. They will trace the development of the theater from ancient Greece down to modern Broadway. In planning this series, the National Broadcasting Company received the assurance of cooperation from university presidents, the head of drama and English departments of the state universities, colleges, high schools, leaders in the Parent Teachers Association, little theater organizations, the National Thespian Society, and other groups, many of which said they would organize to study and listen to the broadcasts. To open the great plays, we are privileged to have with us the distinguished actress Miss Blanche Yerker in the leading role, and Mr. Burns Mantle, outstanding American dramatic critic, and known throughout the country for his yearly volume of Broadway's Best Plays. He will act as commentator at today's production of The Trojan Women by Euripides, Mr. Mantle.
Ladies and gentlemen, as the announcer has told you, we are about to start on a great play-going adventure. We are going to have a series of Sunday theater parties, you and I, and we are, I hope, going to enjoy them. That is what the theater is for, enjoyment. For the satisfaction of enjoyment, we may learn a little something, too, but chiefly we are going to have a good time. Our first play, The Trojan Women, by Euripides, was written 2,300 years ago by perhaps the greatest of the Greek dramatists, certainly the most understanding of them so far as women are concerned. And the play is still one of the outstanding indictments of the brutalities of war of all time. We can still do with a few words on this subject. Our translation was prepared by Miss Edith Hamilton, who has put the Greek text into a simple modern idiom. Our acting company is headed by Miss Blanche Yerker, a brilliant daughter of Czechoslovakia, and a great tragic actress. You, who are familiar with her Electra or her Ibsen repertory, will not need to be reminded of that fact. And now, if you are ready, we will pile into that most modern, most ancient, most dependable of flying machines, which is man's imagination, and fly back to the theater of Dionysus, which is in Athens. We arrive there 416 years before the birth of Christ. Bright, warm March day. The people we find are in a holiday mood. For 3 days, they have been celebrating a religion that embraces devotion to the wine god. Business has been suspended. There is a moratorium on debts. No man may be done for what he owes during this festival. This naturally adds greatly to the gaiety of the occasion. Great crowds are converging on the theater. They do not, however, have to rush. There are seats for 30,000. Here a community group moves forward in a body. There a family group. Just beyond the family, you may see a number of prisoners with their guard. They have been released from prison, so they may see the play. I trust there are no dramatic critics among them. The stone seats of the theater, which you will be able to see much better if you close your eyes than if you keep them open, rise in a great semicircle back of an open space on the ground level. The open space is called the orchestra. In its center is an altar erected to Dionysus, but often used as a prop in the play's action. At the back is a low scene building, and beyond that, the most beautiful of all backdrops, a great natural cyclorama of cloud-flecked blue sky. Just a moment. The ushers are having a little trouble finding room for several hundred guests of the state who cannot afford the price of admission, but they manage to squeeze them in. Now the leading actors and the members of the chorus are entering the orchestra and taking their places. A great hush has fallen upon the audience. There are, we discover, several low huts at the sides of the orchestra near the scene house. And these are groups of captive women. The Greeks have taken Troy, and the Trojan women, their husbands slain, their children taken from them, are waiting to be assigned to their captors. Far in the background, Troy, the walls in ruins, is slowly burning. Closest to us in the orchestra is Hecuba, the Trojan queen. She lies prostrate on the ground. She is grieving for the king whom she had seen cut down before her eyes. Her sons are dead. Mournfully, she awaits the coming of her conquerors. Slowly, as she struggles to rise, we hear her speak.
Up from the ground, O weary head, this is no longer Troy, and we are not the lords of Troy. Endure the ways of fate, are the ways of the wind. Country lost, and children, and husband, glory of all my house, brought low. Oh, I'll rock myself this way, that way, to the sound of weeping, the sound of tears. Oh, ships, oh, prows, swift oars, over the dark, shining sea, you found your way to our holy city. And the fearful music of war was heard, the war song sung to the flute and pipe as you cast on the shore your cables. And who am I that I wait here at a Greek king's door? An old gray woman that has no home. O wives of the bronze-armored men who fought, and maidens, sorrowing maidens, sighted to shame. See, only smoke left where was Troy. Let us weep for her as another bird cries to her feathered brood, so will I cry.
The door of one of the huts opens, and a woman steals out, then another, and another, and another.
Your cry, O Hecuba, oh, such a cry, what does it mean? Look, there, where the Greek ships lie.
They are moving. The men hold all.
Huh? Oh, God, what will they do? Carry me off over the sea in a ship, far from home?
You ask, and I know nothing. But I think ruin is here.
Oh, we are wretched. We shall hear the summons. Women of Troy, go forth from your home. For the Greek set sail.
But not Cassandra. Oh, not her. She's mad. She's into the mad. Leave her within.
Oh, Troy, unhappy Troy, you are gone. And we, the unhappy, leave you.
Oh, out of the Greek king's tent. Trembling I come, O queen, to hear my fate from you. Not death. They would not think of death for a poor woman.
The sailors, they're standing on the prow. Already they're running out the oars.
Has a herald come from the Greek camp? Whose slave shall I be?
Wait for the lot drawing. It is near.
Argo shall it be? Or Thea? Or an island of the sea?
I watch a master's door. I, a slave. I nurse his children. Once I was queen in Troy.
Poor thing. What are your tears to the shame before you? The shuttle will still pass through my hands, but the loom will not be in Troy.
My dead sons, I would look at them once more. Never again.
A man from the Greek army, a herald. Something strange has happened. He comes so fast to tell us.
What?
What will he say? Only Greek slaves are here waiting for orders.
You know me, Hecuba. I have often come with messages to Troy from the Greek camp. I am Talthybius. These many years you've known me. I bring you news.
It has come, women of Troy.
Once we only feared it.
The lots are drawn, if that is what you feared.
Who? Where? Thessaly? Here? Thebes?
A different man takes each. You're not to go together.
And which takes which? Has anyone good fortune?
I know. But ask about each one, not all at once.
My daughter Cassandra. Who drew her? Tell me.
King Agamemnon chose her out from all.
Oh, but of course. To serve his Spartan wife.
No, no. But for the king's own bed at night.
Oh, never. She's God. A virgin. Always that was God's gift to her for all her life.
He loved her for that same strange purity.
My other child you took from me just now.
Polyxena, you mean? Or someone else?
Polyxena. Who drew her?
They told her off to watch Achilles' tomb.
To watch a tomb? My daughter. The Greek custom. What strange ritual is that, my friend?
Just think of her as happy. All well with her.
Those words. Why do you speak like that? She is alive.
What happened was, well, she is free from trouble.
Then Hector's wife, Andromache, where does she go, poor thing?
Achilles' son took her. He chose her up.
And I, old grayhead, whose slave am I, creeping along with my crutch?
Slave of the king of Ithaca, Odysseus.
His slave? My lying man. I have come to this. There is nothing good he does not hurt. A lawless beast. A double tongue, as false in hate, as false in love. Pity me, women of Troy.
You know what lies before you, queen. But I, what man among the Greeks owns me?
Soldiers, off with you. Bring Cassandra here. Be quick. You men, we must give her to the chief and to his very hand. And then these women here to all the other generals. What's that? That flash of light inside the hut. Set fire to the huts? Is that their plan, these Trojan women? Burn themselves to death rather than sail to Greece, choosing to die instead? Open there! Open the door!
No, no, there's nothing burning. It is my daughter, Cassandra. She is mad.
The mad Cassandra enters from one of the huts. She wears the dress of a priestess, a wreath in her hair, a torch in her hand. She does not appear to see anyone as she dances, a little wildly, and talks as she dances of her approaching marriage to Agamemnon, the conquering Greek who has laid the proud city low.
Lift it high in my hand, light to bring. I praise him, I bear a flame. With my torch I touch the fire this holy place. Hymen, oh Hymen, blessed the bridegroom, blessed am I. Hymen, oh Hymen. Mother, you weep tears for my father dead, mourning for the beloved country lost. I, for my bridal here, lift up the fire's flame to the dawn, to the splendor, to you, O Hymen. Fly, dancing feet, up with the dance. Oh, joy, dance for my father dead. Dance, mother. Come, keep step with me. Sing to the marriage god, oh, joyful song.
Hold her fast, queen, poor splendid girl. She might rush straight to the Greek camp.
Cassandra, give me your torch. You do not hold it safe. You move so wildly. Your sufferings, my child, have never taught you wisdom. You never change. Here, someone take the torch into the hut. This marriage needs no song, but only tears.
Oh, mother, crown my triumph with a wreath. Be glad, for I am married to a king. Send me to him. And if I shrink away, drive me with violence. Agamemnon the Great, the glorious lord of Greece. I shall kill him, mother. Lay his house as low as he laid ours. Make him pay for all he made my father suffer, brothers and all. All because he married me,
and so pulled his own house down. This town now, yes, Mother, is happier than the Greeks. I know that I am mad, but, Mother dearest, now for this one time I do not rave. One woman they came hunting, and one love, Helen. And men by tens of thousands died. No man had moved Greek landmarks or laid siege to their high wall towns. But those whom war took never saw their children. No wife with gentle hand shrouded them for their grave. The Greeks lie in a strange land, and in their homes are sorrows too, the very same. That was the glorious victory they won. But we Trojans died to save our people. No glory greater. All Trojans whom the spear slew, friends bore them home and wrapped them in their shroud with dutiful hands. The earth of their own land covered them. The rest, through the long days they fought, had wife and child at home. Not like the Greeks, whose joys were far away. This truth stands firm. The wise will fly from war. But if war comes, to die well is to win the victor's crown. The only shame is not to die like that. So, Mother, do not pity Troy or me upon my bridal bed.
Now, if Apollo had not made you mad, I would have paid you for these evil words. The great who seem so wise have no more sense than those who rank as nothing. Our king, the first in Greece, bows down before this mad girl, loves her, chooses her out of them all. You, girl, you know your mind is not quite right. So all you said against Greece and Troy I never heard. The wind blew it away. Come with me to the ship now. And you, Hecuba, follow quietly when Odysseus' men come.
Spread the sail. The wind comes swift. Those who bring vengeance, three are they, and one of them goes with you on the sea. Oh, Mother, my mother, do not weep. Farewell, dear city. Brothers in Troy's earth laid, my father, a little time, and I am with you. You dead, I shall come to you a victor. Those ruined by my hand who ruined us. Come, let us hasten to the marriage.
The queen, see, she is falling. Oh, help, she cannot speak. Miserable slave, will you leave her on the ground, old as she is? Up, lift her up.
Oh, let me be. I cannot stand. Too much is on me. Oh, God! Do I call to you? You did not help. There is something that cries out for God when troubles come. Oh, I will think of good days gone, days to make a song of, crowning my sorrow by remembering. We were kings, and a king I married. Sons I bore him, many sons. They were the best in all Troy. No woman, Trojan, Greek, or stranger had sons like mine to be proud of. I saw them fall beneath Greek spears. Their father I saw fall murdered upon the altar when his town was lost. My daughters, maidens reared to marry kings, are torn from me. All gone. No hope that I shall look upon their faces anymore, for they are mine. And now the end. No more can lie beyond. An old, gray slave woman, I go to Greece. I, who bore Hector. Upon the ground lay this old body down that once slept in a royal bed. Torn rags around me, torn flesh beneath. No son, no daughter left to help my need. And I had many, many. Why lift me up? What hope is there to hold to?
The chorus has begun to circle the altar, walking with measured tread, relating with a kind of tremulous resentment the story of the great wooden horse that the Trojans, believing it to be a gift for the goddess Athena, had innocently opened up the walls of Troy to receive and had drawn in triumph through the streets. But when darkness fell, Greek soldiers began pouring from that huge image, and soon these had opened the gates and the Greeks were in possession of the city. Hear the story of that catastrophe as the chorus and the women relate it.
Singing me, O Muse, a song for Troy, a strange song sung to ears, a music for the grave. O lips, sound forth a melody for Troy.
A four-wheeled cart brought the horse to the gates, brought ruin to me, captured, enslaved me.
Gold was the rein and the bridle, deadly the arms within, and they clashed loud to heaven as the threshold was passed.
High on Troy's rock the people cried, rest at last, trouble ended. Bring the carven image in, bear it to Athena, fit gift for the child of God.
Who of the young but hurried forth? Who of the old would stay at home with song and rejoicing? They brought death in.
All that were in Troy, hastening to the gate, drew that smooth-planed horse of wood where the Greeks were hiding. Where was Troy's destruction? Gave it to the goddess, gift for her, the virgin, driver of the steeds that never die.
With ropes of twisted flax, as a ship's dark hull is drawn to land, they brought it to her temple of stone, to her floor that soon would run with blood to Pallas Athena.
On their toil and their joy, the dark of evening fell. But the lutes of Egypt still rang out to the songs of Troy.
And girls with feet light as air, dancing, sang happy songs. The houses blazed with light through the dark splendor, and sleep was not. I was among the dancers. I was singing to the maiden of Zeus. A shout rang out in the town, a cry of blood through the houses. Then war came forth from his hiding place. Around the altars they slaughtered us. Within on their beds lay headless men. Young men cut down in their prime. This was the triumph crown of grief. We shall bear children for her to rear. Grief and shame to our country.
See, a chariot approaches, loaded with spoils.
It's Andromache, widow of Hector. She is holding her son Astyanax in her arms.
Look, Hecuba, it is Andromache. Her breast heaves with her sobs, and yet the baby sleeps there, dear as Cyanax, the son of Hector.
Oh, Andromache, most sorrowful of women, where do you go? Beside you, the bronze armor that was Hector's, the spoil of the Greek spear stripped from the dead.
I go where my Greek masters take me.
Oh, a sorrow, a sorrow.
Why should you weep?
This sorrow is mine.
Oh, God, gone happiness, Troy, noble son, all lost.
Oh, sorrow
is here. My tears fall for you.
Look and see the end
of the house where I bore my children.
Oh, children, your mother has lost her city, and you have left her alone. Only grief is mine and mourning. The dead, they have forgotten their pain. They weep no more.
Mother of him whose spear of old brought death to Greeks unnumbered. You see what is here.
I see God's hand that casts the mighty down and sets on high the lowly.
Driven like cattle, captured in a raid, my child and I, the free, changed to a slave, oh, changed indeed.
It is fearful to be helpless. Men just now have taken Cassandra, forced her from me.
Oh, and still more for you, more than that.
Number my sorrows with you, Measure them. One comes, the next one rivals it.
Polyxena lies dead upon Achilles' tomb.
Give to a corpse,
to a lifeless thing.
Marshal, that is what Alcibus meant. I could not read his written. Now, truthfully,
I saw her there and left the chariot and covered her dead body with my cloak
and beat my breast.
Murder!
My child! No, cruelly slain!
She has died her death, and happier by far dying than I alive.
Life cannot be what death is, child. Death is empty. Life has hope.
Mother, oh, mother, hear a truer word.
Now let me bring joy to your heart. I say to die is only not to be, and rather death than life with bitter grief. They have no pain. They do not feel their wrongs. She is dead, your daughter. She does not know the wickedness that killed her. When they captured me, Achilles' son would have me. I shall be a slave to those who murdered. Oh, Hector, my husband, you were all to me. Why, noble, mighty, in wealth and manhood both. And you are dead, and I, with other plunder, am sent by sea to Greece. A slave yoke there. Oh, dear child, let Hector be. And let be what has come to him. Your tears will never call him back. I see Chalcibius coming. Some new plans here.
Wife of the noblest man that was in Troy, O wife of Hector, do not hate me. Against my will I come to tell you. The people and the kings have all resolved.
What is it? Evil follows words like those.
This child they order. Oh, how can I say it?
Not that he does not go with me to the same master.
No man in Greece shall ever be his master.
But leave him here. All that is left of Troy?
I don't know how to tell you. What is bad, words can't make better.
I feel you kind, but you have not good news.
Your child must die.
Oh!
There, now you know the whole, bad as it is. It was Odysseus had his way. He spoke to all the Greeks.
Oh, God. There is no measure to my pain.
He said a hero's son must not grow up, but from the towering wall of Troy be thrown.
No.
Now, now let it be done. That's wiser. Don't cling so to him. Bear your pain the way a brave woman suffers. You have no strength. Don't look to any help. There's no help for you anywhere. Think, the city gone, your husband too, and you a captive and alone. One woman, how can you do battle with us? For your own good, I would not have you try and draw hatred down on you and be shamed.
Go. Die, my Astyana. My best beloved. My own. In cruel hands, leaving your mother comfortless. Your father was too noble. That is why they kill you. He could save others. He could not save you for his nobleness.
My little one.
There. You cannot know what waits for you. Why hold me with your hands so fast? Cling so fast to me. You little bird, flying to hide beneath my wings. And Hector cannot come. He cannot come up from the tomb, great spear in hand, to save you. Not one of all his kin, of all the Trojan might. You little nothing,
curled in my arms. You dearest to your mother. Oh, how sweet the fragrance of you. Kiss me. Never again. Come, closer, closer. Put your arms around my neck. Now kiss me. kiss me. Lips to lips. Oh, Greek, you have found out ways to torture that are not Greek. A little child, all innocent of wrong. You wish to kill him.
Quick, take my child. Seize him, cast him down, if so you will. Feast on his flesh. God has destroyed me, and I cannot save my child from death. Hide my head for shame, and fling me into the ship. Oh, I have lost my child. My
Come now. Come, boy. Let go. Unclasp those loving hands, poor mother. Come now, up, boy. Up to the very height where the towers of your fathers crown the wall, and where it is decreed that you must die. A herald who must bring such orders should be a man who feels no pity and no shame either. Not like me.
What can I do for you, poor, piteous child? Troy lost. Now you all lost. My cup is full. Why wait? For what? Hasten on swiftly to the death.
Take him away, God.
No!
Take him away.
The soldiers have waited while Hecuba speaks. Now they follow Talthybius as he takes the infant Astyanax from its mother. One soldier has stayed behind to take Andromache to her chariot. As Hector's widow drives away, the chorus continues its lament, calling to mind the greater glories of the city's past.
Troy high, binding her fast to the gods by a union. No, I will not speak blame of Zeus, but the light of white-winged dawn, dear to men, is deadly over the city this day, shining on fallen towers.
And yet dawn keeps in her bridal bower her children's father, a son of Troy. Her chariot bore him away to the sky. It was gold, and four stars drew it.
Hope was high then for our arms, but the magic that brought her the love of the gods has gone from Troy.
And now comes the vengeful Menelaus. Twas he who, as the wronged husband of Helen of Troy, fought this war to recover his beautiful wife. She had, you will remember, fled his house in Greece with Paris, the Trojan who had been Menelaus' guest. Helen, if we take the word of Aeschylus, a brother Greek dramatist, was a hell to men, a hell to ships, and a hell to cities. It is to this, to his bodyguard, that Menelaus speaks.
How bright the sunlight is today, this day, when I shall get into my power Helen, my wife. For I am Menelaus, the man of many wrongs. I came to Troy and brought with me my army, not for that woman's sake, as people say, but for the man who from my house, and he a guest there, stole away my wife. Now, well, with God's help, he has paid the price. He and his country fallen beneath Greek spears. I am come to get her. Wretch, I cannot speak her name, who was once my wife. The men who fought and toiled to win her back have given her to me to kill, or else, if it pleases me, to take her back to Argos. And it has seemed to me her death in Troy is not the way. I will take her overseas with swift oars on the ship, and there in Greece give her to those to kill whose dearest died because of her. Attention! Forward to the huts! Seize her and drag her out by that long, blood-drenched hair.
There.
Kill her, Menelaus!
But shun her, do not look at her. Desire for her will seize you, conquer you. For through men's eyes she gets them in her power. She ruins them, and ruins cities too. Fire comes from her to burn homes. Magic for death, I know her, so do you. And all those who have suffered.
Menelaus.
Helen.
Your men, with violence, have driven me from my room, have laid their hands upon me. Of course I know, almost I know, you hate me. But yet I ask you, what is your decision, yours and the Greeks? Am I to live or not?
Nothing more clear. Unanimous, in fact. Not one who did not vote you should be given me, whom you have wronged, to kill you.
Am I allowed to speak against the charge? To show you if I die that I shall die most wronged and innocent?
I have come to kill you, not to argue with you.
Then perhaps, no matter if you think I speak the truth or not, you will not talk to me. Since you believe I am your enemy. Still, I will try to answer what I think you would say if you spoke your mind. And my wrong shall be heard as well as yours. Listen and learn. This Paris, he was made the judge for three goddesses, all yoked together in a quarrel. First, Athena promised he should lead the Trojans to victory and lay all Greece in ruins. Second, Hera said, if he thought her the fairest, she would make him lord of Europe and of Asia. And last, Aphrodite. Well, she praised my beauty. Astonishing, she said. And promised Paris that she would give me to him if he judged her the loveliest. Then see what happened. Aphrodite won. And so my bridal brought all Greece great good. No strangers rule you, no foreign spears, no tyrant. Oh, it was well for Greece, but not for me. Sold for my beauty and reproached besides when I deserved a crown. But to the point, is that what you're thinking? Why did I go steal from your house in secret? That man, Paris, or any other name you like to call him, when he came to me, Aphrodite, a mighty goddess, walked beside him. And you, poor fool, you spread your sails for Crete, left Sparta, left Paris in your house. Oh, well, not you, but my own self, I ask. What was there in my heart that I went with him, a strange man, and forgot my home and country? Punish Aphrodite. She is my absolution. When Paris died and went down to the grave, I should have left his house, gone to the Greeks. Just what I tried to do. Oh, many times. I have witnesses. The men who kept the gates, the watchmen on the walls. Not once,
but often they found me swinging from a parapet or rope around this body, stealthily feeling my way down. The Trojans then no longer wanted me, but the man who took me, and by force, would never let me go. My husband, must I die? And at your hand, you think that right? Is that your justice? I was forced by violence. I lived a life that had no joy, no triumph. In bitterness, I lived a slave. Do you wish to set yourself above the gods? Oh, stupid, senseless wish.
Oh, queen, defend your children and your country. Her soft, persuasive words are deadly. She speaks so fair and is so vile. A fearful thing.
Her goddesses will fight on my side while I show her for the liar that she is. Never make odds out, fools. To whitewash your own evil, no one with sense will listen to you. My son was beautiful exceedingly. You saw him. Your own desire was enough. It was my son. You saw him in his eastern dress, all bright with gold, and you were mad with love. Your luxuries, your insolent excesses, Menelaus' halls had grown too small for them. Enough of that. By force, you say, he took you. You cried out. Where? No one in Sparta heard you. And when you came to Troy, and on your track the Greeks and death and agony in battle, if they would tell you Greece has won today, you would praise this man here, Menelaus, to vex my son, who feared him as a rival. Then Troy had victories, and Menelaus was nothing to you. Looking to the successful side, oh yes, you always followed there. There was no right or wrong side in your eyes. Now you talk of ropes, letting your body down in secret from the wall, longing to go. Who found you so? Was there a noose around your neck? A sharp knife in your hand? Such ways as any honest woman would have found who loved the husband she had lost. Often and often I will tell you, go, my daughter. My sons will find them otherwise. I will help you. I will send you past the lines to the Greek ships. Oh, end this war between our foes and us. But this was bitter to you. In Paris's house, you had your insolent way. You liked to see the eastern men fall at your feet. These were great things for you. Look at the dress you wear, your ornaments. Is that the way to meet your husband? You should not dare to breathe the same air with him. Oh, men should spit upon you. Humbly, in rags, trembling and shivering, so should you come with shame at last, instead of shamelessness for all the wickedness you did. King, one word more. And I am done. Give Greece a crown. Be worthy of yourself. Kill her. So shall the law stand for all women, that she who plays false to her husband dead shall die.
O son of an ancient house, O king, now show that you are worthy of your father. Be strong. Be noble. Punish her.
I see it all as you do. We agree. She left my house because she wanted to. Her talk of Aphrodite, big words, no more. Go, Helen. Death is near.
No!
Men there are waiting for you. In their hands, stones.
No.
Die. A small price for the Greeks' long suffering.
No.
You shall not any more
dishonor me.
No, no, no. On my knees. See, I'm praying to you. It was the gods, not me. Oh, do not kill me. Forgive.
The men she murdered, think of those who fought beside you. Of their children, too, never betray them. Hear that prayer.
Enough, old woman. She is nothing to me. Men, take her to the ship and keep her safe until she sails.
Not with you. She must not set foot on your ship.
And why? Her weight too heavy for it?
A lover once, a lover always.
Not so. But it shall be as you would have it. Not on the same ship with me. The advice is good. And when she gets to Argos, she shall die a death hard as her heart. So in the end, she will become a teacher. Teach women chastity. No easy thing. But yet her utter ruin will strike terror into their silly hearts. Even women worse than she.
The sacrifice is on, and the glad call of dancers, and the prayers at evening to the gods that last the whole night long. My city is perishing, ending in fire and onrushing flame.
Oh, dear one, oh, my husband, you are dead, and you wander unburied, uncared for, while overseas the ships shall carry me.
Children, our children, at the gate they are crying, crying, calling to us with tears. Mother, I am all alone. They are driving me away to a black ship, and I cannot see you.
Oh, if only far out to sea, the crashing thunder of God would fall down, down on Menelaus' ship.
Look! Telphybius approaches with his soldiers.
He is carrying the dead boy, Astyanax. See, he gives a lifeless form to Hecuba.
Look! Unhappy wives of Troy, the dead Astyanax. They threw him from the tower as one might pitch a ball.
One ship is waiting, Hecuba. The chief himself has sailed. He went, and with him went Andromache. She drew tears from me there upon the ship, mourning her country, speaking to Hector's grave, begging a burial for this, her child, your Hector's son, who, thrown down from the tower, lost his life. And this bronze-fronted shield, the dread of many a Greek, which Hector used in battle, that it should never, so she prayed, hang in strange halls. Andromache, this dead boy's mother, she begged that he might lie upon this shield in his grave. And in your arms, she told me, I must lay him, for you to cover the body, if you have anything, a cloak left, and to put flowers on him, if you could, since she has gone. Her master's haste kept her from burying her child. So now, whenever you have laid him out, we'll heap the earth above him, then up with the sails. Do all as quickly as you can. One trouble I have saved you. I let the water run on him and washed his wounds. I am off to dig his grave now, break up the hard earth. Working together, you and I will hurry the goal, oars swift for home.
Set the shield down. The great round shield of Hector. I wish I need not look at it. Go, Talthybius. You Greeks, your spears are sharp, but not your wits. You feared a child. You murdered him. Strange murder. You were frightened then. You thought he might build up our ruin, Troy. And yet when Hector fought in thousands at his side, we fell beneath you. Now, when all is lost, the city captured, and the Trojans dead,
A little child like this made you afraid. Beloved child, what a death has come to you. If you had fallen fighting for the city, if you had known strong youth and love and God-like power, if we could think that you had known happiness, if there is happiness anywhere, poor little one, how savagely our ancient walls have torn away the curls your mother's fingers wound, and where she pressed her kisses. Dear hands, the same dear shape your father's had, how loosely now you fall, and dear proud lips, forever closed. False words you spoke to me when you would jump into my bed, call me sweet names, and tell me, Grandmother, when you are dead, I'll cut off a great lock of hair and lead my soldiers all to ride out past your tomb. Not you, but I, old, homeless, childless, must lay you in your grave. So young, so miserably dead. What could a poet carve upon your tomb? A child lies here whom the Greeks speared and slew. Thou, Greece, should boast of that. Child, they have taken all that was your father's, but one thing for your burying you shall have: the bronze barred shield. It kept safe Hector's mighty arm, but now it has lost its master. Come, bring such covering for the pitiful dead body as we still have. God has not left us much to make a show with. Everything I have, I give you, child. But now on your body, I must lay the raiment, all that is left of the splendor that was Troy's. And the dear shield of Hector, glorious in battle, mother of 10,000 triumphs won, it too shall have its wreath of honor. Undying, it will lie beside the dead. You, O child, our bitter sorrow earth will now receive. Mourn, O mother.
Mourn indeed. Bitter tears.
Soon among the dead, your father will care for you. I think those that are gone care little how they are buried. Women, lift the shield with the body on it. Carry it out.
Oh, see, see, on the crested height of Troy, fiery hands. They're flinging torches. Can it be some new evil, something still unknown?
Captain, attention! You have been given charge to burn this city. Do not let your torches sleep. Hurry the fire on. When once the town is level with the ground, then off for home and glad goodbye to Troy. And you, you women, I will arrange for you as well. One speech for everything. Whenever a loud trumpet call is sounded, go to the Greek ships to embark. Old woman, I am sorriest for you. Odysseus' men are here to get you. Follow me.
Then, Troy is burning. You were so proud a city. In all the East, the proudest. They are burning you and leading us away, the slaves. Quick! Into the fire! Troy! I will
die with you.
Lead her away. Hold her. Don't be too gentle. She must be taken to Odysseus.
Oh, terrible. The fire lights the whole town up. The inside rooms are burning. The citadel, it is all flame now.
Troy is vanishing. War first drawn her. And what was left is rushing up in smoke. The glorious house has fallen. First the spear and then the fire.
Oh, dwellings of the gods, the dear city. The spear came first and now only the red flame lives there.
Gas is rising, spreading out like a great wing of smoke. I cannot see my home.
The name has vanished from the land. We are gone. One here, one there. And Troy is gone forever.
Earthquake and flood in the city is dead.
Troy is fallen. Country where my children lived. Farewell, dear city. On to the ships below. The Greek ships wait.
So we come to the end of this great tragedy. Slowly, actors and chorus are passing out through the entrances to the orchestra. The great audience is standing, applauding, and cheering. Women are wiping tears from their eyes and a little hysterically gathering their children about them, ready to swear again that age-old oath of all the mothers of men, that there shall be no more war, if ever it is within their power to prevent it.
Mr. Burns Mantle, American drama critic, has just completed his commentary on The Trojan Women, first in the series of great plays. This series has been arranged by Mr. Blevins Davis of the National Broadcasting Company in close consultation with leading educators and theater organizations throughout the country. The Trojan Women was adapted and directed by Harry McFadden. The music was especially arranged for the play and conducted by Dr. Frank Black. The members of the cast included Hecuba, Blanche Yurka, Andromache, Kay Strutzi, Helen of Troy, Florence Malone, Cassandra, Selena Royal, Talthybius, Carl Benton Reed, Menelaus, Harry Mystere, the guard, Jerome Lesser. The study manual, part one, listing the 28 great plays and giving complete background material for the first 12 productions, is now available for our radio audience at cost. The price is 10 cents. Address your order with coin or stamps to Great Plays, National Broadcasting Company, Radio City, New York. We suggest that you consult your local library for reading material on the remaining plays of the series. Next week at this same hour, Every Man, a 16th century morality play, will be presented. The Trojan Women was an educational feature of the National Broadcasting Company, RCA Building, Radio City, New York.